Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I want to tell you a story, but it's such a humiliating story that I haven't said it out loud yet. So I'm not quite sure how to make all the moving parts fit together.
Well, I'm thrillingly excited. Go.
But the headline is, for once, it wasn't my fault. The humiliation wasn't my fault.
Okay.
It was my wife, Sarah's.
Oh, oh, I'm actually thinking more excited now.
All right. So I can't remember if I mentioned, maybe 3-4 months ago, we went out on a first date with another couple. You know, you meet someone you have a bit of a click with, and then there's the suggestion that you and their partner should go out.
Yes,
and
yes.
And we all went out and kind of had a nice time.
Mm.
But I don't know that they're ever going to want to spend time with us again.
That's the attitude.
Well, part of it was we got there to an announcement, and the announcement was that the woman was pregnant, and mm-hmm. they were saving that news up for us.
Oh, okay.
So there was like big congratulations, and then Sarah really went big on what's terrible about parenthood and how hard it is.
Okay,
and I think some people appreciate the candor of that,
mm.
but I think perhaps it's not what you want to hear when you're breaking the good news.
No, I think do it before pregnancy or when they're three. I don't know.
Yes.
That's not the best timing. No.
I don't think so. And anyway, so I thought we're never going to see these people again, even though I like them both enormously. I can't imagine that they'll want to spend time with us. And there hasn't been another dinner.
Okay.
But there was an invitation to her birthday party. There's a bit of texting going on between her and Sarah and this invitation to a party. But it was very tentative. It's like, I'm going to be having birthday drinks on such and such a date. Do come along. And Sarah was almost thinking,
excuse me.
Bless you. You don't say bless you for a cough, do you? Was that a cough?
It was
or
a sneeze.
It had a cough-like quality to it.
Sorry.
Anyway, so Sarah almost felt like the invitation to the birthday party was a way of, you know, maintaining the friendship, but without having to see us one-on-one or couple-on-couple.
Okay.
So anyway, this is the back of her mind, and she sort of roughly knew when it was, but no further details.
Mm.
So, Saturday night, she's on a train, and she's one for getting through her admin when she's on a train, when she's coming back from a gig late at night. So she's doing this, and she receives an email from the now husband, because they're now married.
Oh, okay.
In the interregnum, they got married. Mm. Saying, oh, will you be coming to the woman's birthday party? Did you get the email? And Sarah said, email back saying, you know what, I didn't. He said, oh, I'm so sorry, here's the link.
Right.
So it's one of these things, you know, where you can sign up for a service where it does the guest list and the RSVPing for you, and you can keep on top of it. You ever had this? You've been invited?
No, never
had this. You get an evite to a party.
I don't move in these circles, Jeff. I really don't. I can't remember the last time I got an invite. No, like, it was just on WhatsApp.
Invites were a thing in the past. It's all evites now.
I've never had an evite.
So what happens is you'll get an evite to the party and it says click here on your email. Yeah. And it'll say click here to RSVP, yes, no, or maybe. Like a Facebook invite, but yeah. It's some website.
Okay.
So he emails this link to Sarah and she's feeling bad. Because she's figuring out what's happened and it seems like he's sent this out and no one's replied or, you know, we haven't replied and we're looking rude and he's following up on it. So straight away, she clicks the reply, yes, we will be attending.
Okay.
And then what happens is you're taken through to a screen where you can see who the other people invited are and who the other people who've RSVP'd are, like yes or no.
Okay.
As soon as she does this, she realises she is amongst the first three people to reply.
Right.
And the guest list is 60% either famous or very famous people.
Oh.
So it looks like we're a pair of rubes who've got an invite to a party with a bunch of famous people there. And then she's been really eager to press yes straight away because it's going to be so like the first people or among first three people who've RSVP'd. Yeah. It looks so amateur.
It looks a bit uncool.
Desperate and uncool.
Yeah, yeah.
If I got one of those things, and I know how she got there because she thought,
yes,
oh God, like we haven't RSVP'd, I feel awful.
Mm.
When in actual fact, he'd only just sent out the invite.
Mm.
But I woke up to a text message the next morning from an acquaintance who's going to be there saying, God, you guys were trigger happy with your RSVP
oh,
to that
no.
party. I was going to leave it a few hours so I look cool to the famous
what?
People.
It doesn't matter.
It does matter.
It doesn't matter. How can I get on this list?
That's you don't want to look like you want to be at the party.
Oh.
You want to look like, oh, I've got, well, I'll get round to RSVPing to the party when I can.
Oh.
But there's this extra layer to it now for me,
which
is, you know what, I'm like, I don't want to go to a party anyway.
Even though there's famous people there.
Well, especially.
Really?
So I really, when Sarah said, will you come to this party? I don't want to, but I really like these people. And I want to try and undo the damage done from the dinner when we all went out together. So I thought, well, I will go to the party. But now, I don't know when it is, if it's in a week or 2 weeks or whenever it is. Just there is now a pit of anxiety in my stomach about being in a room full of successful people.
Right.
Feeling like a loser. Mm. Feeling like a loser amongst my more successful peers.
Mm.
And not even peers, betters.
When I say I want to go, what I don't mean I want to go. I mean I want to like stand and look.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk to anybody.
No.
I just want to stand and observe. You're
no.
right. I don't want to go. I don't want to talk to them. Yeah.
So here's how it's going to play out.
Okay.
It's my prediction.
Mm.
I'm going to whine about it so much between now and then that it's going to cause an argument in our marriage.
You can see this happening already. Yeah. A massive row.
And then Sarah will end up going either on her own or with a friend.
Oh, I'll come.
You're on. But don't click the RSVP link for another 4 or 5 hours,
okay.
Something like that.
Okay.
Play it cool.
Yeah.
What have the drifters got to say, Annabelle?
Well, you thought it was all over, but it's not. An update on whether there are still any Sharons.
Oh, good.
From Anon. This is very interesting because Anon writes, my ex-wife changed her name from Sharon by deed poll in the 90s, which I could kind of understand. She was from Essex.
Uh-huh.
So it is a thing.
Okay, well, this is great.
This is our first evidence.
This is my suspicion.
Yes. And he says, especially understandable, she was not really the stereotypical Essex Sharon, no white stilettos, no dancing around her handbag, etc. I guess the whole Sharon and Tracy thing just killed the name for the time being.
Wow.
So I wonder, there must be others then.
Yes.
You could be onto something there.
Yeah. Oh, I feel so proud of myself.
Yeah. I think that's probably the end of that, but who knows where we'll be
good.
Next week.
Well, that was worth it.
Okay. And this is from Ben. A few weeks ago, a friend of mine I hadn't seen in a while got in contact to arrange a little catch-up for an upcoming weekend, saying she'd find us something to do. That something turned out to be bingo. But not just any old bingo, this was going to be bingo 2.0. Gen Z bingo. Ooh. All flashing lights, screens and loud music. Essentially bingo, but for the kids. Ooh. We meet at the venue and as soon as my friend turns up, she confesses she didn't properly look into what all this new age bingo malarkey was going to entail when she originally booked.
Oh no, it's not polyamorous sex party, sex party orgy bingo, is it?
Turns out, on looking into it a little further, there is talk of a stage and dancing. My friend is even more of a drifter than I am, so she's immediately concerned about those two dreaded words, audience participation. Obviously, this is a terrifying update, but I decide to take an optimistic stance and choose to believe that any participation will only involve winners and will surely be safe. We go in. The music is pumping. Huge screens adorn the walls. Then two people, the hosts, I presume, are dressed up like they're from Squid Game and are dancing about on stage. It reminded my friend of Squid Game. I thought they looked more like gimp suits. The game is thus, two rounds.
What kind of parties have you been going to?
Each round, you have three chances to win. First is to find a diagonal line of numbers, then two diagonal lines, before lastly, every number on your grid. I start off well, but I'm in no danger of getting a diagonal. Someone wins. They shout and scream, jump up, and are invited onto the stage. Their numbers are checked. It's good. So they and their two hosts dance about on the stage. They're clearly not a drifter. They collect their prize and return to their seat. The game recommences. I'm doing unnervingly well. Checking off numbers left, right and centre. I'm starting to feel a little concerned. Then someone else wins. Phew. They bound up to the stage and bask in the limelight. It almost looked like they were making a TikTok video, dancing and striking poses. They collect their prize and return to their seat. The game again restarts. The final stretch. And although I'd avoided diagonals up till now, I have a lot of numbers checked off. Before I know it, I'm down to five. Then four. Then three. Every number I get is accompanied by a groan. I actually might win. Two left. One. And then 55 gets called. My last number is 55. I've won. I turn to my friend and say, oh no. She looks at my completed card and we both just stare at each other. I now have a few seconds to decide what to do. My initial thought is obvious. Don't say anything. But there is a big but. The top prize is actually really good. It's a holiday for two. Am I really going to pass up on a free holiday for me and my friend? Because I can't bring myself to shout out bingo and then stand awkwardly on a stage for a few seconds. So I take a deep breath, wave my card about my head and sort of half shout something. I'm not even sure it was an actual word. The spotlight falls on me. My numbers are checked. They're good. So off I go up to the stage. At this point, my heart is pounding, but it'll be over in a few seconds, I tell myself. As I reach the stage, someone else is also getting up there. They've also won. And then another. There's now three of us.
What?
Apparently, this happens sometimes. We all reach the goal at the same time, and each of us have legitimate wins. What does this mean? Well, I'll tell you what it meant. They announced that there's a tie, and in apparently grand tradition, the only way to sort it out is via a dance-off.
Oh no, this is the worst thing I've ever heard. It's not the only way to sort it out. Height order, age order, alphabetical order.
I immediately seek out my friend's
closest
face.
Closest to ball.
I immediately seek out my friend's face in the crowd, eyes wide with horror. A dance-off? A dance-off? Oh, oh God, please, not a dance-off. Anything but a dance-off.
No.
One of the hosts leans in and starts giving us the rules and safety guidelines. We are to all dance at the same time, then the crowd will whoop and cheer their approval for us individually at the end to determine the winner. I'm barely listening. I'm thinking I should just shake the hands of the other two right now and walk off the stage. Or maybe I could just stand there not dancing with a sort of, this isn't really my thing, please forgive me, look on my face. Nope, terrible ideas. Surely it will draw even more attention to myself. Everyone will be looking at me afterwards as the coward who skulked off, too afraid to have a little fun. Well, I did neither of those things because before I know it, the music starts. For 15 to 20 excruciating seconds, I'm dancing to Shakira's Hips Don't Lie on stage in front of over 100 people. Now, I'm not a terrible dancer, but I usually only do it on some kind of night out or party situation where I'm aided by a little inebriation. In no way, shape or form, when I woke up that morning, or any morning for that matter, did I have any desire to be dancing up on stage in front of a room full of people, stone cold sober. I was dying inside. It felt like a lifetime. The next part, I barely experienced. It felt like I was disassociating. I actually got a fairly decent round of applause, added the woman next to me, before the last woman received the loudest whooping and cheering, meaning that she'd won. So off I popped, back to my seat, still shaking, wondering what the hell had happened. I had just won the entire game, but rather than receiving a holiday for two, I received the realisation of a lifelong fear instead.
That's hideous. Oh, wow. That's nightmarish.
A dance-off. Wow.
That's not what you signed up for when you went to bingo.
Bingo!
Those things don't go together. Just because you want to play a game ticking off numbers doesn't also mean that you want to prove that your hips don't lie in front of 100 people.
I'm sorry that happened.
I'm really sorry that happened to you. Life is unfair.
Yeah.
Send us your story, please. It's hello@adriftpodcast.com. Annabelle?
Yes.
Going on with that Substack of yours.
Oh, thanks for asking. This week, I am doing Live Chat Changed My Personality. That should be on like one of those magazines, shouldn't it? The True Life magazines. Live Chat Changed My Personality, or maybe it was just the True Me which emerged. It's about how sometimes, I hate myself for this, but sometimes live chat, I become a monster. I become an animal.
Do you mean the little boxes where you type
Customer service boxes, yeah. Mm.
Oh. Something about the anonymity.
Yeah, I've been looking into it. There's something about there not being a voice, the anonymity.
I don't know that I'm always my best self in that situation either.
But there's one particular occasion which I'll be talking about where I was my worst self. Like, really was. And they send you a transcript afterwards. Like, oh, God.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Here's what I can get very annoyed with, and it's not just on a live chat, but it's on the occasion when they force you onto the phone as well. It's when there's a sense that... So that they're following a script.
Yes.
It's that we're in a pretend conversation.
Yes.
Where you can only respond with pre-authorized answers. That drives me insane. When we both know something is ridiculous.
Yes.
But you can't acknowledge it.
Yeah, yeah,
because it would mean going off script.
And they're just like pressing a button. They're like, oh, so I need that with like, you know, F6 or whatever. Yes, some terrible platitude. Like, oh, it drives me mad.
Yeah, me too. Mm. All right, well, that's on your Substack.
Yep.
And do you have another way in which you are not a fully functioning adult?
I do. It is three fairly innocuous things. Did I say innocuous weirdly then? I'll say it again.
Okay. Innocuous.
Innocuous things which repulse and disgust me and they shouldn't. Okay.
Okay.
Number one, I'm so revolted by the two words I'm about to say that I'm going to struggle to even talk about my hatred here.
And moist gusset.
No, I'm all right with that.
No,
moist, that's fine.
I think we're so used to people going on about how moist is an icky word.
That's
not icky anymore.
No, it isn't. No.
It's taken all the ick out of it.
It has, yeah.
But gusset's fun to say, isn't it?
Gusset, that's just a nice word.
Yeah.
This one, though, I wonder how you feel about it. I'm going to say it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I hate it. Mm-hmm. Bin juice.
What?
Bin juice.
Oh, I'd not thought about it, but it's not pleasant, is it? Yeah.
It's not the actual seepage I'm bothered with. I mean, I don't like it. It's not ideal, but it's the two words together, bin and juice.
Oh, I don't mind the... juice. Yeah, okay.
I can't even quite grasp why it turns my stomach so. I tried combining bin with other liquids to find out. So I tried bin water, fine. Bin tea, fine. Bin wine, fine. Bin milk. Oh, God, no. But none of them are quite as bad as bin juice. It's the juice that's really problematic. And I know this because I also really hate it when people talk about baked beans and they use the word bean juice. Ugh.
Okay. Yeah.
I've got some bean juice on my trousers.
Yep.
Disgust me.
Yeah.
If anyone ever says bin juice or bean juice, I instantly go off them a bit.
I think that's right. Yeah.
You're halfway there.
No, I'm just thinking about what's this?
I feel sick now. Ugh.
I'll tell you what phrase I don't like.
Yeah.
Occasionally you will hear somebody describe ejaculate as baby gravy.
Oh! The hell?
That's horrible, isn't it?
Who is saying this?
I don't know. I've just heard it. Yeah. Awful people.
Disgusting. Mm. Okay, next one. So you're cooking some delicious penne pasta.
Yes.
You get out your colander or sieve. Which one?
A colander.
Oh, very professional. I use a sieve.
I don't like having to... I think I like the manual dexterity to also hold the handle of the sieve and do the pouring at the same time.
Right.
Especially since my hand went cammy.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so I had to delay my surgery because of reasons discussed last week.
Oh, God. Mm. So you pour all the water away, you drain it. Mm. You've got your pasta in the colander or sieve. But then you glance in the saucepan and some of the penne pasta is still in the pan, stuck to the bottom, but not flat, sticking up. Like one end is stuck, like some revolting sea anemone. Am I say that right?
I think so,
I struggle with that.
But me too, I was impressed.
Oh, I hate that. Hate it! I tell you what else freaks me out. Anything in the sea which has a geometric pattern.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I went snorkeling once, which in itself is incredible because I freak out even at the thought of a fish like touching me. But it was on this day boating trip and I'd had two cocktails. So it was an entirely different version of myself and much more fearless. And I went underwater and I was fine. Fish brushed past me. Fine. I saw some turtles swimming and I started to fantasize about becoming a scuba diver and getting my PADI certificate. I can't say it. Certification. And then I saw this globe shape below on the seabed and it was grey and it looked a bit like a rock, but it had a perfect geometric shape on it. And it really troubled me, like it probably deep in me, like really deep inside troubled me. And I still think about it a lot.
There's a name for it. It's like repeating patterns in nature. There's a reason. Oh. I can't remember what it's called, but somebody will let us know. There's a specific phobia.
Okay. In my last one now.
When I'm not feeling particularly mentally well,
yeah.
I can really spiral. If I see something like that, I can really spiral.
I totally understand that. Yeah. I really, really do. Okay, this is the last one. It's when people eat an apple down to the very tiny brown spindly core. Oh my God. Please don't do it. I very much stop before there's even a hint of a seed. Any change in colour, I'm gone. Tom... He goes right down like he's a starving animal, getting every last bit of flesh from a bone. It's so spindly and disgusting. My son did it once, and now I only give him cut up apple as I can't bear it. Oh, I make myself feel so ill, I'm going to have to stop.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
As previously mentioned, you've been sending me some cuttings.
Oh, yes, I have.
Shall we have a look at some of the ones you sent
me
this week?
I'd love to.
It's this first one. Click on this. Oh, this is a story from Milford Haven on the BBC's website.
Mm-hmm.
Garden ornament turns out to be live bomb. There's a photograph of it. Tell you what it looks like is a bomb. let's see what happened here. A couple who kept an old naval shell as a garden ornament said it was like the passing of an old friend when it was detonated by a bomb disposal team.
Amazing. I should say that Annie sent this to us, so thank you, Annie.
Oh, thank you, Annie.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes me wonder. I already talked about our limited friendship group within our marriage and how, you know, I don't think really we're socially well-liked and have much of an extended social circle.
Hmm.
I think I wouldn't let it get to the stage where I was thinking of what I believe to be a garden ornament, being like an old friend. But I don't know, maybe.
Oh, but you can't relate to that at all. Something that's been in your life, you've come home, fond of, an animal object.
I think I'd struggle with thinking of it as an old friend.
Yeah.
I think I'd have a certain fondness.
Friend. I know, it's the friend bit, isn't
but
it?
When I'm singing Auld Lang Syne on New Year's Eve, I wouldn't be thinking of it. It had been outside the home of Sean and Geoffrey Edwards in Milford Haven, Pembrokeshire, and is thought to date from the late 19th century. Fancy that. Yeah. Didn't know they had things like that then.
No.
Feels very 20th C, doesn't it? C20. The couple had thought it was a dummy with no charge. So they did sort of understand that this shell-like object, military shell-like object, was in fact...
Something of a risk, though, like an assumption. Like, I'd probably check.
Yeah. I don't know about you, but I tend... I mean, this might just be me, actually, now that I think about it, but I don't think, generally, objects designed to kill or maim. I don't think of that as an aesthetic that I go for with either my interior design or my landscape gardening.
But there is a picture of it as well.
Yeah. And as I say, I mean, it looks like a little torpedo.
It does. Isn't there something about them bashing a trowel on it or something? Yeah, could please.
Mrs. Edwards said she used to bang it with her trowel to remove the earth after gardening. I think that was a death wish on a subconscious level.
It feels that way, doesn't it?
Yeah. Banging it with a trowel. But on Wednesday evening, a police officer knocked on the door to tell the couple he'd spotted it and would need to alert the Ministry of Defence.
Wow, that's quite the knock on the door.
It's quite the knock on the door. Also, I would say it is, you know, quite the over-enthusiastic policing.
Right.
So I don't know what crime is like in Milford Haven, but it sounds like he's doing a lot of peeping into people's gardens.
Right.
With a torch. I don't like to use the expression, shouldn't you be out catching real criminals?
Right.
But I'd like to know the circumstances that led him to peep into this garden. What else we got here? An hour later, he told the shocked couple the bomb squad would arrive the next day. Next day is interesting, isn't it?
Lacks a little bit of urgency.
Well, it's because you'd think this is either so urgent that we need to evacuate from your home until the bomb squad can get here.
And the entire street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or they'll get here when they get here.
Yeah. Next day.
That's the binary with that, isn't it?
Yeah.
It was a sleepless night for Mr. and Mrs. Edwards.
They didn't go to a hotel or anything. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sleepless night. Why did they stay there? It's a sleepless night in the garden as they lay next to their old friend for its last evening with them.
They were told the whole street might need to be evacuated. Again, the might is very woolly to me. Mr. Edwards said, I told the bomb disposal unit we're not leaving the house, we're staying here. If it goes up, we're going up with it. Look, I'm all for loyalty to your old friends. But this is beyond, I think.
Someone who likes to leave their house even less than us. No, not even for a bomb. No. Yeah.
Then it was taken to a disused quarry and covered with 5 tons of sand and detonated. After living in the street since he was 3 years old, 77-year-old Mr. Edwards was sad to see it go. Aww. What do you make of people who've lived in the same street their whole lives?
Oh, there's something nice about it.
I agree.
Yeah.
And?
There's something that lacks a bit of imagination about it.
There's something else going on. Like I had an old colleague. I used to like him enormously. And he had never lived anywhere other than the house he was born in.
Awesome.
And he was in his 50s.
There's something nice about it. There is.
There is.
But
and there's the but is it's not easy to put your finger on, but there's something lovely. And but I suppose, well, I was going to say Prince Charles, but he's dotted about, hasn't he? And now he's back in the back in the one he grew up in.
Yeah.
You know, he got out there though. It's Highgrove,
yeah.
And now he's in, you know, his mum's back in his mum's house. I don't know. I don't know. I just think he should sell it. Get his own place.
Talking about Charles.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Like there's a lady who, the lady who does the sewing in our local dry cleaner, you know, her mum died and she inherited the childhood home, but she didn't move back into it. She sold it and became a millionaire because in the time since she'd been a child in a relatively inexpensive house at a rundown part of East London, gentrification had happened. Right. And that's a lovely story. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, Buckingham Palace, it would, I think that is, you know, that area, it's never really been up and coming because it's always been quite gentrified, I would say, with the head of state monarch living there. In some ways, that's the definition of gentrification, isn't it? But, yeah. You know, I imagine that just over time, the price per square meter has gone up significantly. And you could really, you know, since, I mean, what is that, like 18th century?
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that.
No. That's so it's probably gone up a lot. And, you know, it could, I've not seen that many pictures of the inside of it, but it could probably do with some modernisation.
A lot.
Yeah, remember when that Daily Mirror journalist...
Ryan Parry. Yeah, two-bar fires. Yeah.
He got the undercover reporter got a job there. So we've seen a bit of what goes on in there. And it does look like in need of... You know, it's a fixer-upper.
Very much
There's
so.
No doubt about it.
That's what people want these days, though.
Yeah, they do. You know, people spend, you watch these property shows and people spend all this money like doing these houses up. At that top end of the market, doesn't matter how nicely you've done it up, they're not looking at that. They're looking at the square meters. They're coming in and they're ripping it all out and doing it their way anyway.
Yeah.
So maybe that shows really that the royal family are quite shrewd in terms of their property investments. Anyway, this is my advice to Prince Charles.
Are we still on this? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, go on.
Because you don't even need to like go with Foxtons or an estate agent. There are websites where...
Bricks.
Yeah, something like that you could
do. Where you take your own photos.
Yeah, and then you wouldn't have to like pay the commission.
I could lend you one of those fisheye lenses if you want.
to make it look a bit better. Yeah.
A bit bigger. Where were we?
I don't know. Are we done with this story?
I wonder how they detonated. I'm actually really interested.
I just told you that.
It
in sand.
Yeah, but no, they covered it in sand. That, you told me that. But how did they detonate it? Did they really bash it with the trowel?
A long fuse. They attached a fuse. I don't know what they do.
I'm fascinated. Not so the journalist.
Mr. Edwards was sad to see it go. He says, it was an old friend. Again. I'm so sorry that the poor old thing was blown to pieces.
Oh.
That was its destiny. That's what it was born to do, though. It fulfilled its destiny.
Yeah.
You should be pleased for your old friend. Also, I have to say about Mr. Edwards, he is pictured here on the BBC website in front of, I think, a fire engine. I don't know if it's a bomb disposal vehicle, but he doesn't look that bothered to me. He's wearing his little woolly hat. He's doing his thumbs up.
He looks thrilled. He's loving it. Yeah. He's loving it.
Yeah, he's absolutely fine. I think we'd. Oh, then he goes into his memories, and it stops being particularly coherent.
Okay.
Pop Morris, who went around delivering lemonade, was going down Broadhaven with his horse and cart, and found the shell. We don't need the backstory of the bomb. I don't think. No disrespect to the bomb. R.I.P.
Oh, I miss it.
Yeah, I miss it. Shall I do another one of your clippings?
Go on then.
What's the next one? Let's have a look at this one. Ah, again, BBC. This time on the entertainment and culture pages. Kiss, this is the band Kiss. Kiss to become immortal, in inverted commas, thanks to ABBA's avatar technology. When rock band Kiss played their final farewell concert in New York this weekend, they ended with a gesture that will ensure their digital immortality. As they left the Madison Square Garden, the band were replaced by flying avatars who launched into the hit song, God Gave Rock and Roll to You. The technology originally developed for the ABBA Voyage show will now allow them to stay on the road in retirement. Gene Simmons said the band could now be forever young and forever iconic. I love that. No?
Well, I mean, we went to the ABBA one and it was... astonishing.
Yeah, if you haven't seen ABBA Voyage, unless you despise ABBA, even if you feel lukewarm towards ABBA, you have to go and see it. It is extraordinary. I've seen it three times. Went once with Annabelle and Sarah and Nick and Catherine and Tom, and this is our little ABBA gang. I went once with my friend Chris, who does AV. because he wanted to, he'd heard about it and he wanted to like suss out how it all works. And then we took Jean between last Christmas and New Year. And I think it will be one of the things I think about on my deathbed.
Really?
It was so much joy. It is just brilliant. And I know some people, they find it creepy.
It's not creepy.
No, it's not. If you went, you wouldn't find it creepy.
No.
You might find the idea of it creepy, but there are live musicians there playing. And then even though your brain knows otherwise, and even though I've subsequently worked out the trick, as it were, that fuels the illusion, you just think you're looking at young ABBA in front of you. And it is phenomenal. It's just joy, and you can almost have as much fun looking at the audience as you can at the stage, because people are having such a brilliant time. It's so wonderful. I love it. I have thought about it a lot though, and I've thought about, in some ways, I don't think there are that many acts or bands who you could do it with, because the thing about the ABBA show is there are lots of costume changes and visual changes and stuff that happens on big screens away from the stage. And I don't think, for example, you could do that with Led Zeppelin. It needs to be a band with a lot of looks and a very strong visual identity that goes along with the music and with the performance.
Yeah.
Like, I guess you could do it with the Beatles because there are so many different looks, but I imagine if they ever did a Beatles thing like this, they'd want to try and find a way of pushing it even further than they have with the ABBA song. Elton John would be a fantastic one to do it with.
Yeah.
Madonna, I think you could do it with.
Yeah.
You want someone with a long career that is accompanied by lots of different iconic visual identities over the ages.
Yeah.
Do Kiss have that? I think that sort of and sort of not. I mean, Kiss look like what Kiss look like.
Yeah. I can't picture anything other than that.
But
they are
very theatrical.
Yeah.
Band. Somebody told me about going to a Kiss concert. I know I've spoken about this before, but it's extraordinary every time I think about it. So he's like playing the guitar, a guitar solo, and then sparks start coming out of the guitar. And then the sparks turn into like a jet. A jet engine is firing out of the bottom of the guitar, and it's on wires, so it lifts out of his hand, and it goes up, it goes up, it goes up, it goes up into the gods, and you can't see it anymore because it's gone beyond the lighting rig. Then on the big screens at either side of the stage, you see the planet Earth during the drum solo and the bass solo or whatever. Uh-huh. And you see the guitar, like a rocket flying to space, orbit the Earth once, and then start plunging back downwards, and then the real objects start coming back down on the wires with the you know, all flames coming off it, and he catches it just in time for the verse to kick back in, or the end of the middle eight, or whatever it is. Now that is some theatrics.
If they're doing that, I'm buying a ticket just for that.
I think if you're doing that without the technology, what is that going to look like when they get the hold of this ABBA technology? I saw a video earlier on. I don't quite know what to make of it, but I think it was funny. Bjorn from ABBA seems to be doing a series of Instagram videos where it's him and the actor Ian McKellen knitting.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
And then different celebrities FaceTime them.
What? This sounds incredible.
In the one I saw, it's Kylie Minogue.
Oh, okay.
Who's asking them to knit something for her.
Wow, okay.
And I'm going to be absolutely honest. It made me think Ian McKellen is such incredible. Like, he's one of the greatest actors that we've seen. And he's got brilliant comic chops. And he's capable of being this funny opposite Bjorn, who perhaps doesn't have the same acting chops as he does.
Right.
But yeah, it's quite something. I feel like I keep on talking through these clippings, even though I've been going on with myself. Here's what it is. I feel guilty that you're sending me all these clippings.
Oh, please. It takes me 5 minutes.
Does it really?
And I'm just having a look at the news, like what I normally do. Like, well, it's no big deal. You don't have to use them all.
How long have I been going for? Forever?
I don't know. It's a long time.
We spent a long time on that bomb, didn't we?
You can save some for next week.
Okay. I'll save some for next week. Okay. Quandary Corner at the GLAP Clinic here in Problematic.
Look, guys, we need some more, okay?
You said this last week.
I know, and I'm having to say it again. And if you're making me say it next week, I'm not going to be happy.
Is that it? No more quandaries, just me talking through clippings.
Yeah, no, I'm only joking. Laurie did send us one, so thank you, Laurie. And, I, you know, I've still got a few, but I just would like... I'd like a little bit more.
You'd like 100, wouldn't you?
I'd like 100. I'd like 100, please. Yeah. So please, send me them to the address.
Yeah.
hello@adriftpodcast.com.
Hello. Didn't know it. I spoke over you then. Say again.
hello@adrift. I said it quite quickly. I wasn't even sure of it. hello@adriftpodcast.com. I never say the email address ever.
No.
I felt like a professional then.
No, it's good that.
Thanks. Yeah. So yeah, please send me some more. But in the meantime, we have this from Laurie, who starts with, cold enough for you. Yes, thank you, Laurie. So
it's turned though, hasn't
it? Oh, it's too much for me.
Actually, it's a bit warmer and wetter now, but I'd rather have that biting cold of the weekend than warm and wet.
So people on an email group who receive an email with a question and then press reply all with their response, we will call them X, although their actual name is Anne. Email out to group of lawyers. Do any of you have experience in a case involving zebras viciously attacking pensioners in the cheese aisle at Tesco's? X, Anne, reply to all 20 people. I don't, but I'm knitting a nice Christmas jumper at the moment. I've tried raising this at team meetings without mentioning X's name. I have tried replying to X and asking why they've written this to me. I've explained how to just reply to the sender. I have tried every form of passive-aggressive, obnoxious, sarcastic response. Nope, she still does it. She will reply to me with, whoops-a-daisy, etc. I appreciate that if Anne had a tumble, this email might incriminate me. So that's out of the question. Any suggestions?
Oh.
I've got a feeling, little niggly feeling, that Anne is doing this on purpose.
Yeah, I think
so. Whoops-a-daisy says to me that she's winding you up.
Yep.
I think she's picked up on the passive-aggressive, obnoxious, sarcastic response. And she's like, well, you don't like it? Here's another one.
So is the answer to fight fire with fire?
Oh, so what should he do then?
Start sending banal things to Anne.
Reply to all her ones.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, it reminds me a little bit of last week's, where there is some kind of loneliness and desperation at play.
I felt when I did the voice of Anne, I was channeling, who was it, Betty from last week?
Yeah.
I was really channeling her. Yeah. But, do you think it's the same person?
Well, I think for some reason, I think Anne is a less sympathetic character than Betty.
Because of the whole whoops-a-daisy thing.
Yeah. Mm. I don't know.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, this is my suggestion. I would ignore her.
Here's a question.
I think she's doing it for attention, so just ignore her.
Is there ever an occasion where you do need to see Anne's response?
Right. Sounds not, but yes, okay.
Mute Anne. Mute her.
You can do that?
I'm sure you can.
Oh, I see. Just
hide replies from this sender.
Oh.
What do you think of that then?
Yes.
Yeah? Into it? Yeah. You like it?
Yeah.
Like
that? Okay.
Having a bit of that, muting Anne.
How do you do it? No,
I don't know, but it feels like a thing that can happen.
I'm sure it can happen, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Wendy from Glasgow has got a quandary about hairdressers. Now, I know we've covered these a lot over the years.
Never get tired of it, though.
Never get tired of it. And this is one that we have, I'm sure, done before. But you know what? There's going to be people, there's going to be people coming to this new, there aren't all there, but there might be the odd person coming in.
Let me tell you something. I feel guilty now because I realise it's a text message I hadn't replied to, but,
okay.
You know, I've just not been able to get my meds for a while and find it very difficult to focus on things.
Okay.
And, you know, my executive function's all over the place, task management. But but Lizzie texted me the other day to say that she had a night where she couldn't sleep. So she went back to like Adrift episode one and listened to the first few.
Oh.
Isn't that nice? Gone back to the beginning. But then that bothered me because I just think my cognitive decline would be very... I think it would be stark. I think it would be really stark if you were to listen to the fluidity with which I was able to podcast in 2017. Yeah.
I want to listen back to it now because I feel the same about me. But
no, you've got better.
No, I have.
You just keep getting better, Annabelle.
God, why are you saying this?
I think the decline in me would be upsetting to anybody who went to those first few episodes.
God, imagine listening to it all. and then like going like to lockdown and then like back out again.
Oh, yeah. I implore you, if you are doing a re-listen, don't listen to any of my bits from spring 2020 to present day.
To present day. That's a bit dramatic. Come
yeah,
on now.
No, it's not good. It's upsetting.
I really want to listen to the first one now.
Well, yeah, but I think it'll be upsetting. I don't think it'll be upsetting for you, but I think it'll be upsetting. I think you'll think, oh God. Yeah, like when you, it's the equivalent of when you haven't seen somebody for ages and then they've aged terribly.
Right.
I think that is what it would be like to go back to an early episode of this podcast and hear the difference between me now and me then.
Okay.
It's not good.
I'm sure you're wrong. I'm sure Lizzie would have said something. Well, it's funny because, like, sounds like you're so much, but no, you're wrong.
I don't know. Anyway.
Anyway, let's go to Wendy. So it's a quandary about hairdresser. It would have been answered at some point, but we will have all forgotten what we said. And for anyone who hasn't been listening for a while. The quandary is, I've been going to the same hairdresser for a few years now. She was going on maternity leave and advised me who to get to do my hair while she was off. That's nice. Hmm. Of course, for the months she's been off, I've been trying to decide what happens when she comes back to work. Do I revert back to her? Do I stay with the current hairdresser? Neither seems acceptable when they will both be in the salon. Please don't suggest finding out what days one won't be there, as like most normal drifters, going to the hairdressers is a dread and I wouldn't want to use my holidays for such a chore. Okay, so basically she's got a maternity leave hairdresser. Should she go back? I think it's okay.
Hang on, I feel the very important missing information is, have you started with the maternity leave hairdresser? Have you
yes.
had your first, so the yes. first appointment has happened.
Yes.
What I would have been tempted to do is not to get my hair cut for 9 months.
Whoa. Or go somewhere else? No, can't.
Or go and play the field a little bit. Sow your wild oats at some other salons.
What I would have done on the first appointment was made it clear that you were my temporary hairdresser. So like, I'd make it clear that, let's say, call her Jeanette is your current one. Jeanette recommended I come to you while she was on maternity leave. So I'll be here, like, you know, put out the facts out there. I'll be here for the next 9 months to a year that she's gone.
I was just laughing at myself for assuming that the maternity leave started at the moment of conception and ended at the moment of delivery. Why did I say 9 months?
Well, 9 months is quite a normal maternity leave.
Well, yeah,
nine months to a year.
I think take longer than that. but take what feels right to you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
If you want to go straight from the hospital
weeks,
back
fine.
To
you
the
do
scissors,
you.
You do, but
I was back on this podcast within 12 weeks.
Is that what it was?
A bit less, 11 weeks.
Yeah. So we had guest hosts.
I know, that feels weird, doesn't it? Oh, the whole thing feels weird.
Anyway, I don't think,
yeah, let's not get
I feel
back
like
to that.
We'll get, yeah.
So yeah, I'd make it basically, I'd like put everything on the table day one. Jeanette normally cuts my hair.
I think yes, do that. And then I think the key is asking about Jeanette relentlessly at every appointment.
Have you heard from Jeanette and the baby?
Yeah. Any photo? Yeah. So you're just talking about Jeanette a lot.
And then on the last appointment, say discreetly, I have to admit, I much prefer you, but of course I have to go back to Jeanette because she needs the work because of the baby.
Yes. Even bring a little present on the last appointment when Jeanette's back. So I wanted to give you this car for...
car?
A pineapple then. You know, whatever it is. I don't know.
Pineapple.
You know. I want to... I'll tell you what I was thinking about the other day.
Mm-hmm.
the pen pineapple apple pen guy.
Pineapple apple pen. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Very vague memory.
Yeah, it was like a viral hit.
Mm.
Probably 10 years ago at this point. I just think that guy must really be biding his time with the follow-up. I can't wait to see what he comes up with.
Yeah.
It's going to be amazing if he's waited this long.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you get a little present, say, this is just to say thank you for looking after me so ably while Jeanette was on mat leave.
Yeah.
And then you're back in it with Jeanette. The tricky thing is if you end up preferring...
This is the impossible maneuver.
Yeah, because that's not the situation we're in.
And if that is the case, then you've got no choice but to go back to your original. I'm sorry.
Mm.
There's no way around that. I think we've discussed that before.
Yes.
Okay.
All done?
More quandaries next week, please.
Yeah, we really need them. really need them. If anything, I blame the decline in me on this podcast. This recent lack of quandaries.
Make Jeff feel better about it, that he's not in a decline, he's in an upturn.
No, we know that I'm not. Like, let's let nobody pretend. It'll upset me if people start pretending to be nice.
Is that worse?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What if they're just being nice?
We all know what's happened to me. It's not good. It's hello@driftpodcast.com. And that was our podcast. Thank you for listening. Hear what she says, old Annabelle over there. What are you doing?
Sorry, I was looking at a pencil. Sorry, I was distracting.
You were looking at a pencil?
Yeah.
What I was saying, and you know, admittedly, it's the same thing I say at the end of every podcast, but was less interesting than looking at a pencil.
I thought it might have been one of the Adrift pencils.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, is that one of the Adrift ones?
Okay. Oh, now I'm stopped. So, yeah, send us your quandary, please. And your stories. It's hello@adriftpodcast.com. Thanks to Man and the Echo for the backing music, and to Emily Harrison for the incidental music. Carla Gowlett took our photos. Kim Rainey designed our artwork. And is it? Is it? I think it is. Oh no. Bingo! Podication time. Do you want to know who it comes from?
I do.
John.
Hello, John.
John. John says, hi. I wanted to make a podication to my wife, Katie. I'm writing this the week before she starts her new job, going back into sales after having been working in a different, more convenient but less rewarding job since our daughters were born. She has been listening to you in one form or another since she was a teenager. Now in the tail end of her early 30s.
Oh, I love this so much.
Yeah. Listening back to every episode of your radio shows as podcasts. When we met at uni, she introduced me to your show. And I used to listen to my fair share of episodes by proxy. But I don't hear your voice as often now that your output is once a week / fortnight. Hey, come on now.
Once a week.
Once a week. I'd say that even though... You know, I've had some medical issues, and we do take the occasional break here and there. Mm. I'd say we're here much more, not daily, but when we're doing the radio show, we're up to like 12 weeks a year off at some point, weren't we?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Oh, that was great. I do hear it. And our lives are busier, and we don't get to listen together as often. Run a bath.
Lovely.
Two of you, have a bath. Have a listen to us in the bath. Be like all four of us in the bath.
Oh, I'd love to get in the bath.
I've had a splash around. And very wholesome, though.
Extremely, yeah.
I think the Adrift podcast really hones in on all the things she loved about your previous shows, and she's definitely a drifter by nature, although she has the odd, unexpected extrovert moments once in a blue moon. I do feel that the... This is a very, very, very distilled, I agree, it's very distilled, purified version of the radio show.
Yeah.
And as such, I think it has a very strange, very strong flavour that is for everyone. It's a very acquired taste.
Yeah.
You know, just sometimes you need a Stereophonics record to break it up. There we go. Unexpected extrovert moments once in a blue moon. One example that comes to mind would be when she came on her own to one of your studio parties during the Absolute Radio days. I've intended to make a podication to her for a long time now, whether around the time of our wedding, after the birth of both of our daughters, or for her 30th birthday, but I never really knew what to say. But now that she's about to start this job, it is the perfect chance, as she is sacrificing a lot for our family, and I want her to know how grateful I am. She's been working part-time since our first daughter, Scarlett, was born, and planning to do so until our second daughter, Willow. would be old enough to start school. Great names.
Yeah, I love those.
Do you know the song, John and Katie, Little Willow by Paul McCartney? It's not one of his best known songs. It was from the 90s.
Never heard of it.
And it's beautiful. It's really, really beautiful.
Oh.
Have a listen to that. But then you need a song with Scarlett in it. Because we don't want this, which...
I can't think of one.
I can't, but there must be
one. How unusual. There must be one.
Yeah.
Tyre Scarlet. No, that's not nice.
I keep thinking that like, there's a band called Scarlet Fantastic, but I can't remember.
Oh.
What did they sing? They were sort of not like... I'm getting them mixed up with Strawberry Switchblade in my head.
Mm.
We're getting... You have a look at that while I carry on reading with this old publication here. However, an opportunity came along that was too good to ignore. Although it means going back to working full-time sooner than she would have wanted and will mean her being away from home sometimes, she will be providing for our family and be able to do things for our daughters that we wouldn't have been able to afford before, such as going on holiday abroad. I know it wasn't an easy decision for her, but I want her to know how much I appreciate her. She already does more than enough for our family. And I hope more than anything that she enjoys going back into sales, as it's definitely a better fit for her than what she's been doing to make ends meet over the last few years. Katie, Scarlett, Willow. Sorry, I've put you into a list there. When in actual fact, John put a perfectly good hyphen to show me he's breaking this list up. It goes, Katie, Scarlett, Willow, and I love you so much and can't thank you enough for everything you do for us. John. P.S. When Katie's not travelling for work, we will be co-working from home, so hopefully we'll get to listen to your show together more often. Wow. I hope it's still okay as a joint experience.
Yes.
Rather than as a dirty little secret in your headphones. Mm. But do you know what I really love about this email is... Okay, so I don't mean this of the email we received because I actually don't think it's true, but are you familiar with the word uxorious?
No.
It's like men who kind of like gush about their wives, but there's something a bit insincere and self-serving about it.
Okay.
And there's just nothing of that to it. Like when I read this, it just like I'm really quite taken by the gratitude. It feels like such genuine gratitude. And of course, that gratitude is because Katie clearly like goes above and beyond and it's just like such a wonderful presence in your family, and I don't know, I really get a nice feeling hearing that gratitude.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
Do you want to know about Scarlet Fantastic?
I do, yeah.
80s pop band.
Yes.
Yeah. No Memory, remember No Memory?
Oh,
that was their big hit.
No Memory tonight.
Oh,
no Memory.
Yeah,
no
it's
Memory.
Very good.
We got the moon in our hair and the wind in our eyes. The other way, wind in our hair, moon in our eyes. Yeah. That was good.
Yeah.
No other hits, though, I don't think.
I think that was it, yeah.
Wow. I feel like again, we're back on my poor cognitive function these days. I just feel like Scarlett. Like, what aren't I thinking of?
There must be something obvious.
Ah, there must be, mustn't there? But I don't know. Okay, but this time next week, I've had a lot of emails and I can pretend that it came to me.
Okay.
All right. Well, Katie. Well, firstly, John, thanks to both of you.
Yeah.
Especially Katie, because it seems like she's a bit more committed.
Yeah, a lot more,
so, yeah. So really, you know, John, you're getting some piggyback.
Mm.
Yeah, you're piggybacking on the thanks here. But you know, Katie, and to a lesser extent, John, thank you for your patronage over these years. It's as we said, I think a while ago, you know, as you get older, you really appreciate the long haul of it,
yes.
This job. And the connection you form with people, and that's a wonderful thing. And then secondly, it sounds like the circumstances of it, the timing of it, maybe isn't what you would have chosen, but it sounds like you're going to jump into something that you're going to be challenged by with both feet, and you're going to enjoy, and you're going to throw yourself into. So that's a wonderful thing. So there we go. The latest edition of the podcast is podicated to Katie from John, and Scarlett, and Little Willow. And if you would like a podication, you can email us. It's hello@adriftpodcast.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more.
and is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.